Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm speaking with Andrew Corbett. He's the Managing Director of Kingston Resources. And ladies and gentlemen, have they been busy in the last... Listen, the last time I spoke to Andrew, I had no idea how much work was going on behind the scenes, because mainly our focus last time was on the Missima project in PNG. Since then, because we spoke briefly about Western Australia, since then they've divested of the West Australian asset, which we'll talk about, and I'll ask Andrew about that. And they've also picked up a producing asset in New South Wales. So it's all hands to the pump, Mr. Corbett. Welcome back to Small Caps. Great to see you.
Thanks, Kerry. Thank you. It's good to be here. Look, it's been a very busy year. In fact, it's been a busy couple of years, but it's the last 3 months have been flat out. So it's been really exciting. Very happy to be and the next gold producer on ASX. So, the transaction for Mineral Hill will complete in the middle of January, and it's already producing gold today. So it's an exciting time.
It is an exciting time, but let's take it in a logical sequence if we can.
Sure,
because
sure.
In the past, as I said, the focus has been always on Missima and PNG, the flagship mm-hmm. project, etc. Now, I want to get on to New South Wales and Western Australia, but with Missima, is there going to be any focus taken off Missima because you've now got this producing asset mm-hmm. in New South Wales?
Absolutely not. So Missima is, we're in a great position at Missima. You've got to remember where we've come from. So we were 49% of the project 3 years ago. We're now 100% of the project. We completed the PFS in November last year. The DFS, which we need for the approvals, is due for completion in March next year. So that's March 22. So in March 22, we'll produce the new reserve update, which we talked about last time, which is going to be a huge increase because we already, our indicated ounces is up 700,000 ounces.
That's fantastic.
So we've got 2.5 million ounces in the indicated category. For listeners, so last time we got a 71% conversion from indicated to reserve. So people can do the maths. It's you know, it's a big resource, big reserve. That's all coming to market. To, you know, we'll be able to announce that in March next year. That's when it's due for completion. So that team's in place and we are full steam ahead on that. Once we complete the feasibility, then we can look at submitting the approvals. You can't submit approvals in PNG without having a complete feasibility and completed all the environmental work. Both of those are underway. We started the environmental program at the beginning this year. It's due to be finished basically after the feasibility. So the quarter after the feasibility next year, April, May next year, we will submit our approvals for the project.
Andrew, can I just interrupt you for 1 minute? With the environmental studies, this was a mine in the past. Why have the environmental studies taken so long? Surely it's quite a simple process.
Well, environmental studies are never simple, even for a brownfields project. You still have to do the work. You still have to do the monthly monitoring. You still have to have 12 months of data. You can't actually fast track that. So even though it is a brownfields project, and yes, we're building the mill on the same site and we're using the same haul road and we're digging up two of the same pits, the placer mine, you still have to do everything again from scratch.
Okay.
So that's all happening and that's all well underway. In fact, the field work is majority complete by Christmas. The team's actually going to have a week off, so which is really nice because they've actually completed their field work. We get back to work in January and we submit, get all the reports together. So that's all happening. So like I said, feasibility, submit the applications, and then we've got to get the approvals through. Now, that takes time. You know, our view is that it'll take up to 12 months from once we submit. So we've got this window right now to do this transaction to actually be able to get Missima fully approved and a decision to build the project over the next 18 months while we produce gold and develop the Mineral Hill project in New South Wales.
Okay, so that's actually, so what you're saying is we've done all the work at Missima. We can't speed this up. We can't make it go any faster. Mm-hmm. So rather than sitting back and waiting for approvals, we're not sitting on our laurels. We've gone out and we've found an asset which is producing revenue.
Yes. That's exactly.
Absolutely. And so I want to talk about that, because rather than saying, well, let's take a big breath and we can wait for these approvals, you've gone, actually, let's go hard and find an asset that's producing. How the heck did you, what, talk to us about the asset first and then how you found it.
Yeah, well, it's actually a really good point you made though, Kerry, first, is that, you know, no shareholder likes sitting and waiting for that approval period. And, you know, if we're not announcing lots of nice, exciting drill holes or continuing to grow the company, people do get bored. Yeah. We understand that. It still is the biggest value lever we have is the Misima Gold Project. Mm-hmm. It still is a material asset, 20-year mine life, 130,000 ounces per year. So it's absolutely the cornerstone project. In the meantime, we started to look at Mineral Hill. So we've actually been monitoring this since October last year. It's owned by, was owned by a group called Quintana, who are a Houston-based royalty business. So their core business is not owning the projects. So they're looking for someone to partner with, which they are with us, because they'll be a significant shareholder of Kingston. There's a royalty for them and there's production payments. So their alignment with our success is basically 100% alignment there, because they only get $1 million cash up front. So,
oh, wow. That's very good.
Yeah. So the structure.
So the structure of the deal is you're buying Mineral Hill off this US company. Mm-hmm. They get $1 million as a payment.
Yep. $8 million in Kingston shares.
Right. 10 million.
Yeah. $8 million, which is so all up basically 11 million Aussie up front. And then there's production payments to come from gold production. Basically, the first one is the end of 22, and then there's three payments in 2023. And so they are all linked 100% to gold ounces produced.
But that's not ongoing. That finishes at the end of 23. That's right. Based on current revenues.
That's right. So the total price is 22.7 million Australian dollars. Yeah.
Okay. But there's a lot of potential for in exploring around that area as well. It's not just what's producing at the moment. There's some exploration upside. Apart from being shareholders, is there any structure around the exploration, or is it purely just in the producing mine at the moment?
No, so they get a 2% royalty on the whole project. So that's their exposure to the upside and the exploration, which they wanted. They were desperate to get that royalty because they can see what we can see, that, you know, once you actually start drilling and start proving up these resources, which we already have, you know, there's a considerable resource base. So we already see a mine life. We now just need to do the work, get the drill holes, produce the reserve statements, basically demonstrate to the market what that mine life is going to look like. So that's all going to happen now in the next 12 months. So, you know, we complete in January. We hope to be drilling within the first month next year. So that's going to be what people are looking for. We'll be focusing on near-term gold and copper production. So it's
copper.
Yes. So it does. And we have an approved plant, all the approvals, cyanide licenses in place. We have a fully manned up operation with 44 people on site. So, it proves our credentials as an operator for Misima. That's the other point that we should make as well. So it's really important that people understand we move from explorer to a producer and a developer for Misima. So all of these dominoes are in place and they're slowly falling for us, which is what we're trying to deliver right now.
Andrew, is it important for Misima, and I guess the way maybe people that might be looking to fund the project look at you now and say, well, actually, they've got a producing mine. They know how to do it. Look at them over here with Mineral Hill. Does that help with Misima?
Yeah, in our view and the board's view, we firmly think it helps. And strategically, we've been talking about using Misima to build a mid-tier gold producer and leveraging the Misima asset. So by bringing in Mineral Hill now, we're demonstrating that ability to produce gold, operate a project, obtain approvals, and deliver cash flow. You know, and that's really important for the banks. That's really important for the debt providers. They're not doing due diligence just on a team that thinks they can build and operate a project. They're actually doing due diligence on a team that is operating a project.
Right.
And has built projects. So you've got to remember our boards, you know, I've got two board members that have both built gold mines previously as well. So, you know, we've got to be able to demonstrate that to shareholders and banks and debt providers as we progress towards the approvals for MISMA. So it is really an important step. You know, you look at some of the single asset companies, it's not easy to get those projects funded when you're a single asset company, particularly jurisdiction risks, you know, so we are diversifying by bringing that Aussie project in as well.
Yeah, I guess that's a good thing. What would you say to people out there, potentially shareholders, I don't know, I haven't spoken to them, but what would you say to them that say, well, hang on a minute, this is taking your eye off the prize and will you be distracted with Mineral Hill?
No, I mean, then look, Mineral Hill comes with a full workforce. We have a full workforce that we need at MISM. We have our approvals team in place. So will we be distracted? Not at all. We firmly understand that to create shareholder value, we've got to deliver both projects, and that will be the priority for us. You know, we've got every company starts at this point. Evolution, single project to start with. Northern Star started with one single project to start with. Kingston, we now have Mineral Hill. And we've got MISMA. So we've already got our second project. So we actually think this leapfrogs us in that strategy to grow and become a mid-tier gold producer.
You mentioned that the deal would be completed mid-January. Do you see any impediments towards completion of the deal?
No. So the only really remaining CP is just ministerial approval of the tenements. So that's a process. You know, that can take up to 45 days. We're leading into Christmas, so the shareholder vote happens in mid-December and the ministerial approval hopefully comes before Christmas, and we're targeting completion in mid-January. We've just got to get through that Christmas New Year period. Not the best time of the year to do a deal, Kerry.
But when a good deal comes up, you just got to grab it when you can, can't you?
Yeah, when the sun is shining, you've got to stand in it. So you've got to move, absolutely.
And I think your timing is quite good, but I would say that I'm a gold nerd, so I think that next year is going to be great for gold, but let's hope so. Does it matter? How do the numbers add up at the moment?
Look, this is a great gold price. Aussie dollar gold now is 2,500. On our current guidance for Mineral Hill, we're making plus $800 margins. Very happy with that. Will we try and improve on that? We sure will. But we just need to get the keys to the gates in January and get in there and do what we do. You know, look for opportunities to lift production, look for opportunities to take costs out. All of that will be a priority in that first couple of quarters. But this is a really good gold price, and it's a fantastic copper price. You know, we talk about building a gold company, but even better would be a gold company with some copper credits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You said earlier it's a good deal. Mm-hmm. What makes a good deal? Why is this a good deal? Why is Mineral Hill a good deal for shareholders?
Look, I think if you look and we have, you know, if we have provided reserves and resource numbers for shareholders in the presentation, and I really recommend they go and have a look at that. So on an EV per ounce on either reserves and resources, this is extremely compelling. It's a very cheap transaction in terms of all those metrics. If you look at it, as a metric, as a producing asset, we're off the scale in terms of the price we're paying, because most producing assets, I mean, we've seen it already in the last 12, 18 months, some of those are going for, you know, $800-$900 per ounce, a reserve ounce, and we're a fraction of that in this transaction. So, A, it's cheap on market metrics. We've seen the seller invest $15 million over the last year in the project. They're not even receiving $15 million up front. So, you know, we, in terms of what's actually being spent on the project, we're paying a discount to that. If you look at our guidance, 40,000 ounces at $800 margin, people can do the maths on what that's $32 million in cash flow. That's a discount to that. So we're producing, you know, it's a discount to that NPV. And then we have all the resource base to drill and bring online and the approvals. How do you value an operating plant with approvals in New South Wales? I can assure you it's more than what we're paying today. So, yeah, we think it's very accretive in terms of shareholder returns.
And I guess you said it before, these guys are based in Houston. Mm-hmm. They've still got the exposure to the upside because through the royalty and also the payments that are coming through.
And the Kingston shares.
And Kingston shares, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just tell me briefly about the exploration upside. Are you going to start to do some drilling? What's that look like? Where is it?
Yep. So we've got six priority targets. All of them are within 500 metres to 1 kilometre from the processing plant. Wow. Some of them are fully approved reserves already. So there's potential to grow those reserves. Obviously, these were done in 2014, 2015, 2016, so they need to be all updated for current commodity prices. There's a complete underground with the decline and access in place. There's 2 million tonnes of resources already in that underground. We've got a 400,000 tonne mill. We've got 2 million tonnes already in the underground. So people can do the maths pretty quickly about what potential mine life there is. So we see two little open pits as a start, and then we have the underground to attack, and then there's another three targets on top of that. Some of them already have resources. All of them have holes in them. All of them, these are not greenfields targets, they're all brownfields targets. So there's potential for both exploration upside and resource growth pretty quickly next year.
For those, I've just had a thought, for those people that have no idea, they're going, Mineral Hill, where is it? Where is it? It's Cobar, isn't it?
Yeah, it's near Cobar. It's closest town's Condobolin, so 65 Ks out of Condobolin. Basically sort of between Parks, Dubbo and Cobar, right in the middle.
And how did you guys become dance partners? Surely there were there other people that wanted to be first on the dance floor?
Yeah, there was, but we were pretty clever. We got wind of the project and the upgrade of the mill and the work that was happening through an engineering firm that we were talking to. Then, you know, we just followed it up, basically spoke to them quietly, discreetly. We went exclusive on it for a number of months as well. So, yeah, look, it's been one of those things. That's the secret sauce, isn't it, Kerry? Is where do you find your projects and how do you get them? It's a bit like how we got Missima. So it's, you know, hard work and look and doing our DD, I guess.
And doing it quietly. Yes. Let's just talk about divesting of the West Australian asset. Who did that go to? And what was the deal around that?
So we went to Metal Bank. So it's up to $10 million in value. So it's $5 million in cash and shares up basically in the first 12 months. And then there's a second $5 million payments of cash on them hitting certain milestone resource milestones. So again, we get, you know, it's accretive for shareholders because we've got more than what we've already spent on the project. We've got shares in the company that's buying them. So we get the upside of their resource, of their drilling success. And we've got milestone payments as they grow the resource base. So we think it's a great transaction. It's a really good project. You know, if it wasn't for Mineral Hill and Missima, Livingston would have been our, you know, would have been our focus because we really liked the project. But when it's up against Missima and then up against Mineral Hill, it was, we weren't going to be able to fund all three projects. So, yeah, the sequence didn't quite work out right. But, yeah, Livingston got sold before Mineral Hill, but that's, you know, that's what happens.
Well, sometimes you can't make them all go at the same time. But as a result of the divesting of Livingston, mm-hmm. what exposure will you have within Metal Bank? What percentage will you have?
We're actually going to be substantial shareholders. I think Kingston will be just over 5%.
Right.
Metal Bank.
Okay, so there's if there's some still upside leverage. there is still some exposure for Kingston shareholders.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Any other, because goodness me, it's been busy since I last spoke to you. Anything else that you want to tell me about that's sitting in the background that I should know about?
Well, obviously, Kerry, I can't tell you about anything that we're working on. But look, no, it's been a really busy year. We've got now a producing asset with excellent exploration upside, both gold and copper, and we've got Missima coming, which is going to be a 20-year project. So if for shareholders that want both longevity of projects, we've got that and size with Missima, and we've got some really exciting exploration and cash flow coming from Mineral Hill in New South Wales. So 2022 is going to be a good year. Really looking forward to it.
And for those of you out there listening at the moment, Andrew is going to be at Crown Barangaroo for the face-to-face. That's right. You can come up, you can shake his hand, and you can talk to him.
Absolutely.
Won't that be a gold conference? So exciting.
Won't that be unusual to actually meet people face-to-face? It'd be great. No, it's good. You know, I mean, Zoom's been helpful. It works. Yep. But there's nothing like actually talking to people.
There's nothing like talking to people face-to-face. All right. Well, Andrew, as I always like to finish up my interviews, three reasons why investors should be sitting up and taking notice of Kingston right now. I think we've given the three, but let's just summarize. I'll let you summarize it with three very good reasons why they should be looking at you guys right now.
The next ASX gold producer producing from New South Wales, fantastic exploration, both gold and copper coming through next year in 2022, and the Great Missima Gold Project, long life, large scale project coming through once it's approved.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. They haven't been resting on their laurels. They've been getting out. And as Andrew just said, the next ASX listed gold producer, you heard it here first on Small Caps. Andrew Corbett, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Kerry, and great to talk.